Welcome to the podcast following the Take Charge of Your Banking Career webinar. I'm joined by Vera Kubkova and Oliver Baru, who are on the webinar with me. And really, this is just a wash up, really, to talk about some of the programs that the LIBF are either promoting or delivering or actually building at the moment, which can really help you with your current and future roles in any area, really, across risk, sustainable finance, or digital banking, or somewhere in between all of them. So we're going to really look at some of the programs that we've seen coming out of the Risk Centre and the Sustainable Finance Centre, and also what's coming down the road. And then I will talk a bit more about some of the LIBF banking qualifications as well, which we've got kind of ready to go at all different levels. So Vera, thank you for joining the podcast and thank you for the webinar earlier. So I know that we have a postgraduate certificate in sustainable finance, which is level 7, master's level. And I believe that we've developed that in conjunction with our kind of satellite office in LIBF MENA. Would you be able to just tell us a bit more about that program and then also some of the other programs that we may be working on as well?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thank you very much. Thank you for the space there. Yes, we've got the postgraduate certificate in sustainable finance, which, as you say, is level 7. We have run it twice. It's a 6-month program consisting of 3 different modules. The first module is focused on a generic understanding of sustainability. So we're going to look at the themes that we looked at in this webinar today in much more depth and much more context. And then the next 2 modules, they are focused on financial services. One of them is focused on the industry as a whole. So we will be talking about regulation and the role of a central bank and the impact of the kind of macroeconomic impact of the changes. And then the other module is the kind of microeconomic one. So we're looking at the individual players within the industry and what can banks do and pension funds and asset managers. And we also look at microfinance and some of the new emerging, or they are not emerging anymore. They've been around for a decade now, but relatively new. New players in the space. So that's the postgraduate certificate.
Sorry to interrupt, that's me jumping in again. Just on that one, so what would be the typical audience that you would say that was suitable for the postgraduate in terms of, you know, who would we aim this at?
We have, frankly, we have anybody. We have executives from middle management all the way to top management. Some people are from financial industry, some are from other industries. We had an executive from an NGO the last time. So really everybody who is interested to understand the topic in more depth and more complexity, to be able to connect all the dots rather than just have a narrow skill set.
Yeah, and that's studied over 12 months, did I hear you say?
That's studied over, I think it runs over 8 months in total. Well, six months is the learning, and then there are some gaps in between. So I think altogether it's about 8 months.
Great, great. And yeah, you can find out more on our website under the Sustainable Finance Centre. And great. And then, yeah, moving on to kind of more of maybe an entry level programs or what we're doing in other areas. Can you just give us a bit of background information on that?
Yeah, we're developing an entry level introduction to sustainable finance, which we currently are designing it as 7 weeks, where each week is going to have a particular focus. So each week can technically be studied independently, but obviously it makes more sense if you study it all together. And then at the end, we want to give the participants a bit of a kind of personal plan development. And, you know, once you develop the personal plan, that will be a proof that you have actually studied and you mastered the content. But as we said, it's an entry level, so it is for anybody. It really is for people who don't have a degree or don't want to have a degree or just want to learn, have reasonable foundation in sustainable finance, but don't necessarily want to go to theoretical or to academic.
And I think from the poll on the webinar, I think it showed there's a lot of people out there that really don't know very much, myself included, about sustainable finance. So I think if you're a manager or a leader of an organization and you want to upskill your people, this would be the program that you'd put them on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very good starting point. And, you know, as I said, there's a huge knowledge gap and it's new to everyone. It's not like you're not the only person who, you know, or you're not in a minority. Actually, majority of people, this is on you. So it's a good starting point.
And then we are also something that you and I are working on in partnership with EFMA. There's a 3-day series masterclass that we're also promoting with yourself and Emmanuel Rondo, I believe, across 3 days. So Olivia, you know Emmanuel very closely. There's also a training program that we're going to, all the masterclasses that are running in December. So again, if anyone is interested in that kind of introduction to sustainable finance and risk, then we do have that program. And again, you can find that through our website.
Yeah, if I can maybe just add to it, the 3 days masterclass, the first day is focused on the fundamentals, on the kind of understanding the landscape. Then the second day, we're going to talk about net zero, because net zero is currently all around us. And the third day, we're going to focus on delivering transformational change. So we'll come back to leadership and how do we actually make this happen with real people in real organizations.
Yeah, I didn't say on the webinar, but looking at your graph, when those targets were made in 2015, it looks like we're already way behind where we need to be.
You mentioned that there's huge hopes being put onto COP26. I personally think what we're missing is the focus on resilience, but I think it will come sooner or later, right? So how do we actually get ready for the impact? So we say we will not achieve the well below 2 degrees warming. We will achieve well below 3 degrees warming, and that means that we will have to adapt to the new environment somehow. But I think that's coming.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. Olivia, obviously we've worked together on quite a few projects now with your hat for Centre Governance, Risk and Regulation. And also I see there's a lot of training programs coming out of the Risk Centre as well. And I know that you do a lot of the tutoring, lecturing or training yourself. So maybe just give us a high level overview of some of the programs that are currently out there and a bit of background. That'd be great.
Thank you, Rob. Yes, thanks for organizing today's webinar. And in the context that Vera and Helene gave us, there's an increasing, and also the reaction from the participants, you know, this surprise as to whether compassion and care were one of the fundamental features of leadership. That's an interesting reaction. And what I'm not surprised by, it's one that really has emerged very strongly during the pandemic. I think it was always there. The research I referred to with the identification of these four items that a leader needs to provide to his or her follower, that predates the pandemic by quite a few years. But I think during the pandemic, this has become even more obvious. And a lot of the training programs we do focus both on the technical and on that leadership soft skill. People call it soft skill. I like to call it the sort of human skills, which are actually harder to master, really, in many ways. And if you think about it, in the ESG agenda, the way to adapt to this change, this is all about change. This is all about making quite fundamental adaptation to the way we live. And, this will have to be done with care and compassion, because otherwise we're going to have a lot of very angry people. So I think that these aspects which we cover. So we have a number of programs which tend to be delivered directly to institutions. So they're in-house programs, and they have been delivered in Asia and in MENA, and can be delivered also anywhere in the world. They tend to be remote delivery programs, because we have been delivering them during the pandemic. They can be delivered face to face as well, of course, and they touch upon all aspects of leadership and what it means to become a leader, in that step from a manager to a leader. One of the slides I didn't show, or I didn't talk about, was that a transition from a manager to a leader. And that sort of difficulty of understanding what it is that people want from you as a leader. And that's precisely because they are more elusive concepts. I'm sure Vera would agree with me on that.
I actually think you don't have to be a manager to be a leader. I think these are two different skill sets. Right? Yes. All of us in our own context can be leaders without actually being managers.
I agree completely. And that's why there's a bottleneck, there's a sort of transition error, because people think that being managers prepares them for leadership. And in fact, I think leadership is something that you do all the time. You do it with your children, with your peers, with your friends. You know, you show how you react to things. You know, if you are going to be ethically driven, if you are driven by the environment, you show leadership in all these things by your behavior. And oftentimes people who are promoted to be the leader are those who have been most effective at managing things. And so that's why we are in that situation where we have these two boxes, which people keep sort of wondering how you move from one to the next. But the reason why it's difficult to understand that is that, in fact, it's not a move from the box of manager into the box of leader. You've moved into the leadership box all your life. And the manager is a different sort of, as you said, Vera, it's like a different sort of channel. Now, you need to be good at managing things to be a good leader. Obviously, you know, that these skills are still very important. But in a way, the doing becomes less important and the influencing skills become paramount, because, again, you don't do anything yourself. Anyway, so these are the things we talk about in the programs. So we have one program which is focusing on moving on from the crisis. So it's managing banks in a post-COVID environment, so with all the changes that the crisis has brought upon us, and in particular all the changes to the way of working and also the technical changes to the way banks have been affected. And that includes 50% of technical and 50% of leadership. And then there's a pure leadership program, which is called Agile Bankers in a Digital Age. So that covers quite a lot of aspects of what Helene covered in terms of, you know, what does this digital transformation actually mean? And then how do people adapt? And interestingly, you know, the requirements, the leadership skills that are required for this change are not really very different, as Helene was saying, you know, from the leadership skills that were required to tackle change in the past. And guess what? You know, they're exactly the same leadership skills that we will need in order to adapt to the things that Vera was talking about. So these are five modules in all. They tend to last for about 2 to 3 months. They're spread over depending on how long we put in between the modules. And they come with, pre-study. People have to sort of read things, make themselves aware, and watch a few things to sort of come up to a certain awareness of the topic. And then the module itself, which is a live webinar with facilitators, and then some work afterward. And people have to sort of put together a learning journal, which sort of evidences their progress during the program. And that's what is being then assessed at the end. So there's a certification at the end of the program. There are lots of different ways of addressing this. We also have, as you know very well, Rob, programs that are dedicated to credit risk, helping people in banks to be better to revise their credit skills in an environment which is no doubt going to be quite challenging going forward. And we can do, you know, short master classes or longer programs, yeah, just as Vera was describing.
Thank you, Olivia. I've seen a lot of great stuff come out of the Risk Centre. And as you say, they're these kind of programs that we're developing in partnership with other organisations or for clients. If anyone listening to this is interested in those, just go on to the Centre for Governance, Risk and Regulation. You'll be able to see all of the programs there that we've either built or can build. In terms of the main LIBF offering as well, the kind of the banking services part that I'm looking after, we've got a number of qualifications in risk. So if you're looking for something a bit more broader and really to get an understanding of specific types of risk, we've got risk and regulation in banking, which is our entry qualification. And then we've got kind of qualifications at a higher level, either in kind of operational risk and governance or financial risk management, which will look across the whole spectrum of risk. And again, risk just transcends across cybersecurity risk or sustainable finance risk, ESG risk. So, those qualifications are there and they all form part of our higher program. So if you're looking to even move into a risk role or a kind of advance your role in risk, then those qualifications would be where I would say also to have a look. And then carrying on with the LIBF qualifications, I mentioned strategic management and innovation in banking on the webinar, and this is one that I did earlier this year. I have to say it was probably the one that I learned the most from, was most excited by, and also most kind of shocked by in terms of kind of where we've come from in the whole banking industry. And as Helene was saying about, you know, the disruption that's going on and the future future of the incumbents and how they're having to adapt. So if you're in a leadership role, management role, looking to go into one, want to understand really what's coming down the road in terms of the technology and how it's impacting the banking industry, and we are talking about non-financial institutions here, how customer expectations are changing, because you know we all now shop with Amazon, and that's the benchmark we expect from any service provider. It doesn't matter that Amazon's not a bank. We know what good looks like now, and we want good to be across all our interactions with who we purchase from. So all of the banks are having to deal with that. So it's a very, very good qualification to give you that kind of leadership head, as well as the technological and digital side. And then at the more entry level, we've got a certificate in retail banking, a digital and digital banking. And as Helene covered off as well, we have the FinTech practitioner course. So if you don't like qualifications or don't want to do a qualification, you can do a training program with us and really specialize. If you want to do the more broader and deeper learning, then you have the qualifications to fall on. And again, just go to the LIBF website and you'll see the links to the centers there, or just click on banking and you will see all of the qualifications that we offer. And as Olivia mentioned, we also have qualifications in kind of commercial lending, or you know, which looks at credit risk as well. And that will again, I guess, Vera, tap into your world, where we look at the financing of some of the, you know, less desirable organizations now out there. So and no matter what area of the bank you're working in, we really can provide something that will help you with your career path.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, very, very correctly, even if we finance sustainable economy, it doesn't mean that there is no credit risk. Of course there is. It's still very relevant.
Yeah. So that's been great. Thank you both for your time, not only on the webinar, but for doing this podcast wash up. I think that's been really useful, and we'll be able to get this out to our audience. So, thank you to you too. And thank you to Helene, even though Helene wasn't able to join this, but she did very well with all of the cover, with the bits on the actual webinar. And thank you to the audience for listening. And we will see you soon.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our qualifications, training and upcoming events, then go to libf.ac.uk. We also have other podcast channels that dive into topics like trade finance, financial advice, fintech and more. You can find all of them at libf.ac.uk/podcasts.